coal already had a distinctly longer and hotter flame. "I suppose," said the young man, "that I could not prevail upon you to let me down." Another dragon caught some coal and belched a fireball. The young man swung desperately to avoid it. "Guess," said Vimes. "I suspect, on reflection, that it was foolish of me to choose the roof," said the assassin. "Probably," said Vimes. He'd spent several hours a few weeks ago sawing through joists and carefully balancing the roof tiles. "I should have dropped off the wall and used the shrubbery." "Possibly," said Vimes. He'd set a bear trap in the shrubbery. He took some more coal. "I suppose you wouldn't tell me who hired you?"
"I'm afraid not, sir. You know the rules."
Vimes nodded gravely.
"We had Lady Salachi's son up before the patrician last week," said Vimes. "Now there's a lad who needs to learn that no doesn't mean yes, please."
"Could be, sir."
"And then there was that business with Lord Rust's boy. You can't shoot servants for putting your shoes the wrong way round, you know. It's too messy. He'll have to learn right from left like the rest of us, and right from wrong too."
"I hear what you say, sir."
"We seem to have reached an impasse," said Vimes.
"It seems so, sir."
Vimes aimed a lump at a small bronze and green dragon, which caught it expertly. The heat was getting intense.
"What I don't understand," he said, "is why you fellows mainly try it here or at the office. I mean, I walk around a lot, don't I? You could shoot me down in the street, couldn't you?"
"What? Like some common murderer, sir?"
Vimes nodded. It was black and twisted, but the Assassin's Guild had an honour of a sort.
"How much was I worth?"
20,000, sir.
Should be higher," said Vimes.
"I agree."
If the assassin got back to the guild, it would be, Vimes thought. Assassins valued their own lives quite highly.
"Let me see now," said Vimes, examining the end of his cigar. "Guild takes 50%, that leaves $10,000.
The assassin seemed to consider this, and then reached up to his belt and tossed a bag rather clumsily towards Vimes, who caught it. Vimes picked up his crossbow.
"It seems to me," he said, "that if a man were to be let go, he might well make it to the door with no more than superficial burns if he were fast. How fast are you?"
There was no answer.
"Of course he'd have to be desperate," said Vimes, wedging the crossbow on the feed table and taking a piece of cord out of his pocket.
He lashed the cord to a nail and fastened the other end to the crossbow's string. Then, standing carefully to one side, he eased the trigger. The string moved very slightly. The assassin, watching him upside down, seemed to have stopped breathing. Vimes puffed at his cigar until the end was an inferno. Then he took it out of his mouth and leaned it against the restraining cord so that it would have just a fraction of an inch to burn before the string began to smoulder.
"I'll leave the door unlocked," he said. "I've never been an unreasonable man. I shall watch your career with interest."
He tossed the rest of the coals to the dragons and stepped outside. It looked like being another eventful day in Ankh-Morpork, and it had only just begun. As Vimes reached the house, he heard a whoosh, a click, and the sound of someone running very fast towards the ornamental lake. He smiled. Willikins was waiting with his coat.
"Remember you have an appointment with his lordship at 11, Sir Samuel?"
"Yes, yes," said Vimes.
"And you are to go and see the Hevels at 10?
"Her ladyship was very explicit, sir. Her exact words were, 'Tell him he is not to try to wriggle out of it again, sir.'"
"Oh, very well."
"And her ladyship said, 'Please try not to upset anyone.'"
"Tell her I'll try."
"And your sedan chair is outside, sir."
Vimes sighed.
"Thank you. There's a man in the ornamental lake. Fish him out and give him a cup of tea, will you? Promising lad, I thought."
"Certainly, sir."
The chair. Oh, yes, the chair. It had been a wedding present from the patrician. Lord Vetinari knew that Vimes loved walking the streets of the city, and so it was very typical of the man that he presented him with something that did not allow him to do so. It was waiting outside. The two bearers straightened up expectantly. Sir Samuel Vimes, commander of the city watch, rebelled again. Perhaps he did have to use the damn thing, but... He looked at the front man and motioned with a thumb to the